Joining us now on Jewish Community Radio is none other than Sandra Osterbeer. Sandra is a former Clevelander who moved to Israel, and she is now running a great group, actually the Israel branch of a great group, called Christian Friends of Israeli Communities. And we're doing a little series here on Christian support for Israel. And last week we had on somebody from Christians United for Israel. And Sandra, you're with a different group. First of all, Sandra, welcome back to Cleveland. You're visiting here right now.
That's right. I'm here for a series of speaking events, mostly in the Christian community, but I will also be speaking to the Jewish community at Sinai Synagogue on Sunday night.
Now, let me ask you a question. How long ago did you make Aliyah?
25 years ago.
Wow. That's incredible. And I know your brother is here, and you have a sister there?
Two sisters.
Two sisters.
And we all live in the same wonderful community of Karnei Shomron.
And I was saying, your sister is very well known. She's been on the show a couple times. We had her on. And your brother, I know. I mean your sister, Nomi. And then your brother, Howard, is pretty famous. Your father is also famous in Cleveland. And also, Howard's wife, Marcy, is very well known because she's a writer for the Cleveland Jewish News every single week.
That's right.
So you have a long history of doing big things in your family. It's great. I mean, your sister's music, she has a great job. We've played her music before. She's been a guest on here. Bunch of CDs. I lost count. I mean, you know, your family is just too well known in Israel. What can I tell you? Do great work.
Well, thank you. We try to do things. That's the important thing. You know, you can't sit home and just watch the world go by.
Oh, you
have to get involved. And that's how we were raised. And thank God we're each doing as much as we can.
And you succeed. I tell you, I'm just impressed. You know, it's like, wait a minute, there's not an Oster in the news today? What's going on here?
Well, you know, I'm exaggerating, but okay.
Well, a little bit okay, but still, you know, it's...
thank you, Fred.
So you're Karnei Shomron. Where's Karnei Shomron?
Karnei Shomron is in Samaria, and it's actually, I don't know if you know where Kedumim is or where Ariel is. It's like right near those places.
Wonderful.
Actually bigger than Kedumim and smaller than Ariel.
Wait a minute, it's bigger than Kedumim?
Definitely.
I thought Kedumim was the biggest.
No way. Karnei Shomron, we have almost twice as many people as Kedumim does.
Wow.
We have almost over 7,000 people.
Yeah, but Kedumim has a music school built by Clevelanders, so, you know.
And that Clevelander, Dennis Seaman, is amazing. And that music school not only services Kedumim, but the whole region. I know a lot of friends whose kids are studying there.
It's a great thing. And I believe your sister has done some work there as well.
Yes, Naomi's a professional singer and choir director, and she's involved in music all over the place.
Yeah, so it's great what she's doing. But tell me, what is your organization, Christian Friends of Israel Communities, what is that?
Well, it's the only Christian organization anywhere in the world whose exclusive focus is on the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. And before the destruction of the communities in Gush Katif in Gaza, which happened, by the way, exactly 5 years ago, we were also working with and representing those communities. And ever since the destruction of those communities, we represent the people who were thrown out of their homes, helping them and hopefully getting them to permanent settlement as soon as possible.
So they're not currently all settled in permanent homes?
No, unfortunately. And this is a disgrace. They were forcibly removed from their homes, their businesses destroyed, their farms destroyed, everything 5 years ago. And today, only about 10% of the families are now living in their permanent homes. There have been unbelievable delays, bureaucracy, all sorts of issues. Of course, the irony went, of course, you know, I was against the whole destruction to begin with, but once it happened, our expectation was that the government would take full responsibility. And while they paid lip service to taking full responsibility, on the ground there were so many delays. I don't know if it was a question of unwilling or incapable. I think incapable. I think they just are not able to resettle, you know, 10,000 people. And it's taking so long and costing unbelievable amounts of money, more money than they should have had to spend because of the delays, because of the lack of planning. It's been outrageous. And frankly, you know, I hear so many people talking about, oh, we're in favor of a two-state solution, and we're going to just evacuate another 100,000 people or 200,000 people or whatever from their homes in Judea and Samaria. And I pose this question to everybody. If the government of Israel was incapable of resettling 10,000 people in 5 years, how are they going to possibly be able to resettle 100,000 people?
So your organization is based in Judea and Samaria.
Well, the Israel office is at Karnei Shomron in Samaria, and we have offices all over the world. In the United States, our office is in Colorado. And we basically enable Christians to learn about the situation in Israel with a specific focus on everything having to do with the settlement movement, with the communities in Judea and Samaria, with the situation of the refugees in from Gush Katif. And we arrange tour programs for tour groups coming into Israel. There are many, many Christian tour groups that come to Israel, and we enable them to come in and see the biblical sites in Judea and Samaria and meet the people. And we enable them to provide financial support for a whole range of humanitarian programs in these areas.
Now, you said Karnei Shomron is twice as big as Kidumim.
Yes.
I know Kidumim is a big city. No perspective here. How big is Kidumim and how big is Karnei Shomron in numbers of people?
Okay, Kidumim has about 4,000 people, and Karnei Shomron has about 7,500.
And so these groups come to these towns, these cities. These are not small, these are small towns. They're made of small towns relatively by American standards, but they're not that tiny.
No. Well, there are also tiny communities. There's such a range. Ariel, for example, is more than 20,000 people. But there are some communities that have, you know, a few hundred people. It's the entire range. What people need to understand, though, is that these are not, you know, outposts on a hill, a couple of mobile homes and tents. These are regular, permanent places to live, looking very similar to any of the suburbs here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was in Kidumim a few times, and there is an image of being tents, you're right. But, you know, there's cities, paved roads, sidewalks, it's a normal city.
Right.
But when someone comes to these cities, what are they expecting, what do they actually see, what surprises them?
Well, first of all, for many of the people that we're working with, it is the first time that they're in Judea and Samaria, and so it just surprises them to see exactly what you described, that there's ordinary life. There's schools and there's shops and there's, you know, homes and streets and sidewalks and playgrounds and people. And so just giving them the ability to come in and walk around and meet people is always a treat. We are also showing them the actual biblical sites. I don't know if you are aware of the fact that we have, you know, Kidumim, for example, is located when you stand right outside the high school of Kidumim. You look out there, kind of like, you know, you're sitting in the University Heights and you look out and you see Cedar Center. You sit in Kidumim and you look out and you see Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. These are two of the most important biblical sites, you know, mentioned in the Tanakh, in the Bible. And it's there. It's there right in front of you. And so we're bringing people to see these places and Shiloh, where the Mishkan, the tabernacle, stood for 369 years. It's a 45-minute drive from where I live. We bring people to these places, pull out the Tanakh, read the relevant stories, so they, like you would anywhere in Israel. And then you go across the road and you visit people who came to live in these places and you meet the people and hear their stories, and the message is very clear. This is our land. It has been for 4,000 years and we're coming home.
So somebody comes to the cities, you bring them on a tour. First of all, they come to Israel. Are they coming on your tour, or they just make a stop out of another tour? How does that work?
Well, we do our own tours once or twice a year. But in addition, the bulk of our tourism work is with other tour groups. We have relationships with pastors and tour leaders from all over the world. And when they are planning their tour itineraries, they are in touch with us to put in a program in Judea and Samaria. We then coordinate the logistics with their tour company and with their tour guide. But we are the ones who are scheduling the day, arranging the meetings, arranging the experiences, etc. And it's a tour guide who actually... it takes them from place to place and does the explanation, but what we are doing is enabling them to meet people, having coffee in someone's home. And, you know, a Jewish audience coming to Israel, almost all Jews coming to Israel have relatives or friends in Israel. So for them to have coffee in a living room in Israel is not a big deal. For Christians coming to Israel, it is a major big deal. And by enabling them to just come in and meet ordinary people, that's usually one of the highlights of their trip.
Interesting. I know that I had an interesting experience along those lines once. I was in Israel, in Kidumim, during, it was Christmas, and I called a friend of mine in Cleveland, who was Christian, and it was Christmas Eve. I wished him Merry Christmas, and he was just flabbergasted that someone would call him from Israel to wish him a Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I couldn't believe that his joy that you know, that he got a greeting right from Israel. And so I can imagine the joy of him saying, hey, you know, coming here and being some of these places that they've only read about and have heard about and studied about the Bible. But bringing somebody to home, I know, is just a really special thing. I know when I was in Israel, and one of the best experiences I had was basically sitting down and speaking with just people I didn't know, but just sitting down with them and getting a feel for daily life in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's exactly what we're doing.
So somebody comes in, they're coming on a tour, they stop in a city. I mean, do they just see homes, or are there small stores they can buy the, you know, gifts from? Are there merchants? Are there craftsmen? I mean, what do they see more than just people in their homes?
Well, it's always a full-day program, at least, that includes, as I said, visiting some of the biblical sites, and like you would do on any tour, and having the explanations, spending time with people, visiting, let's say, in someone's home, going to see things in the community. It could be a school, it could be a daycare center, you know, where they have a sense of life. They could go to a local shopping center. We'll always have lunch somewhere. Now, lunch can be, for example, in Carnation Mon, there's a lovely shopping center. You take them to the shopping center, there's a variety of places that they can choose from to have something to eat. There's gift shops, there's jewelry shop. You know, that's just a regular, you know, have lunch and shopping experience, but they're doing it in Carnation Mon and supporting our local economy. Now, there's also a place we'll stop for lunch that is a very rugged stop, right near Itamar, which is really in the heart of Samaria, and it's a favorite stop for soldiers because it's right near an army base. So the tourists get such a thrill out of that. They're at this very rough-it kind of place, rubbing shoulders with IDF soldiers. They love it.
Interesting. Now, one thing you said that caught my attention is speakers. You have speakers, people meeting your groups and speaking to them. Give me an idea of what kind of speaker you may encounter with your group.
Well, you see, we have relationships with most of the communities in Judea and Samaria. And what that means is that we know that community well, we represent them, we bring them visitors, we have a designated spokesperson in that community who is able to meet the groups and articulate what their community is all about, what their life is like, usually very fluent in English or some other language, depending on what languages we need. And so these are the people that we're coordinating with. We're already very, very well networked in the area and very set up to do this. Most of these people are not public speakers. They are not the kind of people who would feel comfortable getting up and addressing a crowd of hundreds. But they're very good at hosting people in their homes and in a very informal way sharing their life's experiences. And I usually speak to the groups whenever they come. I meet them at either they come to my office in Carnation Mon or I meet them somewhere else. And then I give them a more formal talk, giving them the historical and biblical background of the whole area, some of the political issues that we deal with. That's the only formal lecture.
These are not politicians. These are just regular people who are, I mean, they're probably hearing the politicians and everybody else in the rest of the tour in many cases, but the speakers are really just plain old folks.
That's right, and that's our focus. We definitely we're very well connected with politicians at every level, both municipal and in the Knesset. And where appropriate, where the groups are interested, we arrange that too. But our focus, as you so correctly pointed out, is getting them to meet ordinary people.
And we're speaking with Sandra Oster-Barris from Christian Friends of Israeli Communities. Your website is CFOIC.org.
.com.
Thank you. And I was at your website, and on the website, you have videos of you speaking.
That's right.
And it was very interesting. And one of the things caught my attention was when I spoke to somebody in your office, Kim, she said, well, I can't put in touch with her right now because she's in a Bible class. So you teach these classes?
Actually, what I was doing last week was studying. I study Bible frequently, and I do teach on occasion. It's not what I do for a living. But the truth of the matter is a lot of the times when I am lecturing to Christians, what they are very interested in having me do is teaching Bible, and I do. In fact, we just put out a 5-DVD series taking you through the book of Genesis, of Bereshit, and it's called The Choosing of a Chosen People, where I highlight the issue of how the Jewish people got chosen, beginning with the choosing of each of our forefathers, and it's been very, very well received. So I just love the Tanakh. I love studying the Bible and do it at every occasion. I study once a week during the year, and last week I was at a 5-day Bible seminar, Tanakh, Yemei Yun B'Tanakh, in Gush Etzion, which is fabulous. I go every year. This is to feed my soul, but the truth of the matter is I also have been teaching a lot.
Interesting. And you were in Cleveland right now, but this week you were speaking to some pastors in Cleveland.
That's right.
And tell us about that if you can.
Well, one of the things that I do when I come to the States is meet groups of pastors. Yesterday I was hosted by a wonderful pastor over on the west side of Cleveland, Pastor Felix Munoz, and he put together a wonderful luncheon for all sorts of pastors and ministry leaders that are part of his network. And it was great because for most of these pastors, it was a first introduction to Israel and certainly a first introduction to everything having to do with the settlement movement. So I was able to give them a talk, a lecture. We had a great question-answer session, and there's a lot of interest there in pursuing relationships, getting more involved, bringing groups to Israel, and, of course, these are the things that we're encouraging.
That's great. And you are speaking Sunday night at Sinai Synagogue, which is on Fenwick Road. The well, Mizrahi is moving. It's the old Mizrahi building, which is the old Northwood School, and they're moving to the site. But Sinai is meeting at the Mizrahi building.
Yes, yes. And yes, that'll be at 7:15 on Sunday evening.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to attending. I know that a lot of people are attending. I talked to some people, and they told me that they're the interest. So let me just, so you had one meeting yesterday at noontime.
That's right.
And then you had an evening lecture or speech or talk in Chardon.
That's right.
So you're pretty busy.
Very. And this is very typical because I don't like, you know, leaving Israel for long periods of time. And this trip is actually a very short trip, which means every second is packed in. I'm usually scheduled a, you know, couple meetings a day, every day, and I then sleep on the plane on my way home.
That's funny. I think you're the only Clevelander who I had to interview over the phone. I mean, you're literally in, we're in the same suburb right now, and I have to interview on the phone. So I know you're busy.
I apologize.
No.
But it has been crazy.
No, don't apologize. I think it's great. I think it's a, what's I'm looking for? It's a real sign that you really are busy. I mean, you know, it is great because it just shows how busy you are that I have to get you on the phone. And so speaking with Sandra Oster-Barris of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities. So you love Cleveland and you still have your roots in Cleveland. You're still a Clevelander.
Always will be.
Always will be.
Yes, definitely.
So now let me ask you another question. I've asked you some questions about this. Your organization is based in the United States.
Well, the American branch of it is based in the United States. I run the international office, which is based in Israel.
Oh, okay, fine, okay. So there are other branches in other countries or mm-hmm. just the United States?
Yeah, we have an office in England, an office in Holland, and an office in Germany. And in addition, we have supporters from all over the world.
Wow. And tell us about some of the projects that you've been involved with.
Well, we are actually, in addition to the educational and tourism elements that I was talking about, we have a host of projects in the communities themselves that we are encouraging Christians to support. And that ranges from helping communities build playgrounds for their children, acquire equipment for schools such as computers. We do quite a lot of work with special needs children. We have some fabulous programs in helping Heart of Benjamin, helping special needs children in the Benjamin area. We have some youth villages, Beit Chagai, for example, which is located very close to Hebron. We have all kinds of just ordinary needs in some of the very smallest communities. Some of them just need furniture for a social center. They have this room. Sometimes it's even a bomb shelter that they're using also for gatherings. And they'd like tables, chairs, books, you know. We have fund libraries. We receive donations from people all over the world for any amount. And not only that, we encourage our donors to tell us where they want their money to go. So I could have a project, let's say, for $10,000, and I could fund that from donations that came from over 100 people.
So that's interesting. I mean, you're basically putting together people. Now, does somebody have to be a Christian to donate?
Oh, absolutely not. Our organization is addressing Christians. That is our niche. But we welcome donations from anyone who wants to support Israel, who loves Israel, and who just wants to take part in what we're doing.
Fantastic. Sandra, sounds like you are busy. Does anything I forget to ask you about?
I don't think so.
Boy.
But, you know, all of our projects are listed on our website, and if anyone is interested in learning more, getting involved, supporting our work, please, you know, take a look. And if anyone wants to just contact me, send me an email and ask more, I'm certainly available, and you can contact us through our website as well.
Sandra, let me ask you one question I'm very curious about.
Yes.
You know, I understand, you know, lay people are usually more, I would assume lay people are more surprised and more fascinated by what they learn about Israel coming for the first time. What are some of the reactions you've had from pastors and clergy in general when they come to your communities? Is there anything that surprises you the most about the reaction from the clergy?
Well, there's a variety of clergy and people coming from different denominations and with different backgrounds. And one of the things that surprises me sometimes is to encounter clergy who are not that well versed in the Tanakh and the Hebrew scriptures. And that sometimes surprises me. On the other hand, there are clergy who are very well versed and, you know, can quote scripture, can quote chapter and verse to me easily. But, you know, the range is enormous, and Christianity is definitely not monolithic in any way. And what I have learned is to be able to discriminate between the different denominations, the different backgrounds that people are coming from, and have a sense of what their background is and try to respond to their needs. What is the information that is missing, and then give them the information they need to be able to understand what it is we're trying to say.
So your visitors are across the Christian religious spectrum then?
Well, I would say most of them are coming from what is loosely known as the evangelical world, but even within that term, it is quite a variety. We have very little to do with Catholic or Presbyterian, Methodist, those kind. Those are groups that are traditionally less supportive of Israel, and some of them are outright antagonistic to Israel. But within the evangelical group, which is really our target audience, still the variety is enormous.
But you do welcome everybody from across the spectrum.
Absolutely. If they're coming out of friendship, if they're coming without any underlying agendas that might be threatening in any way, then we welcome them with open arms and look forward to building the friendship.
That's fantastic. Sandra, you have done a great job. We appreciate the work you're doing, and we look forward to seeing you. I know Sunday evening, 7:15, over at Sinai Synagogue, I am looking forward to being there. And a curiosity, speaking of the speeches, how many people came last night? I'm just curious to hear you speak.
We had about 50 people.
Which
is typical for, you know, a small church gathering. It was great. It really was.
Yeah, a lot of times you're speaking in small churches, you're inviting their congregation mainly, so.
Yeah, and a few other people that come from outside. But, you know, like a gathering of like 50 people in a small community is great. You know, but we've had gatherings as small as 20 and as large as 2,000. So it really depends on what kind of audience we're looking at. But it's wonderful, and the support and the friendships that I have gained as a result of this work is just amazing.
So you have friends in cities across the country, across the world, then you've met over this project?
Yeah, everywhere.
So, all right, Sandra, I want to thank you for joining us. I know you're doing great work there in Israel and around the world you're traveling, and I want to thank you for coming on the show today. We'll be back right after the news from Israel here on Jewish Community Radio.